Cantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Great Tidings by Haley Edwards, narrated by Stephanie Richardson. Chapter 1. Cage diving with sharks had nothing on spending the day in my office. Sharp-toothed predators circled, a carousel of menace bumping against my newfound authority, testing for weak spots, hoping for an easy meal. The bar is protected as much as they can find me. But I had entered this cage, agreed to swim with these carnivores of my own free will. Though it didn't help that the director had tied a juicy steak around my neck when he announced my relationship to him along with my promotion. That steak? Raw and bloody. Just like I would be if I didn't figure out my next move soon.
More coffee?
Inga placed a fresh mug on my leather blotter before I could answer.
Another donut?
I'm good. I signed off on the sixth warrant of the day with a hand already cramping. Send in Clay. Please kept trying to wiggle in there, but I couldn't afford politeness. It would only be seen as a weakness.
Yes, ma'am.
On dainty hooves, the servitor exited with a swish of the fluffy white tail that might get her killed one of these days. Light glinted off the enchanted deputy director plaque affixed to the door, a warning of what lay in wait if you dared enter. The ashwood door with its ornate silver vine inlay and cold iron knob were beautiful. The symbology, however, was grotesque. Ash wood? Silver? Cold iron? They were banes, each element lethal to a faction of my allies. Witches, wargs, day. The placement made it clear the director wanted them kept out of my office and my life.
"You're growling," Asa noted from behind me. "You are also clutching the letter opener again."
Swiveling in my chair, I found him right where I'd left him 4 hours ago. One ankle crossed over his knee, knitting needles clacking in his clever fingers, and a tablet with the pattern for a shawl resting on his thigh. The official line was I had demanded a security detail. The truth was, I didn't want to be alone. On my own, I was vulnerable to the memories of this place. The tap, tap, tap of the director's cane across the marble floors. The phantom pain as he cracked that cane across my knuckles. The ache of broken bones mending. The well of hatred filling me until it threatened to drown my fledgling conscience. I could become who I once was here. I could become that black witch again. I could become his heir in truth as well as in title. Some days, Asa was the only barrier between the dark memories pounding in my head and the identity I had spent so long crafting from the qualities I wanted to embody. Rue Hollis was more than a checklist. I had breathed life into her, and Asa's presence reminded me to keep filling my lungs and not suffocate on the past. Today, his earrings and septum piercing were orange coral, and so was his neat pocket square. The bright color popped against his immaculate suit, and brought out the vibrant green of his eyes. For no particular reason, I had braided his hair in a single queue that hung down his back. But now I missed his usual style. The sleek black pantsuit with matching stilettos I wore had me missing my usual style, too. And the white blouse? Worst idea ever. Had these people never seen me eat? I would have to get my tops spell-treated to repel stains or wear my lunch down my chest every time I overpoured hot sauce on Taco Tuesdays. Inga clips, then she clops, then she swishes her tail. I flicked a finger back and forth. At you. I drove the blade an inch into my desktop with an angry stab I pretended fell between two doe eyes.
I haven't noticed.
He got distracted by a tangle in his burgundy yarn.
Except for the growling.
If I killed her,
And I'm not saying I would, but if I did, no one would blame me.
You're the deputy director.
He lifted his gaze to mine.
No one would dare blame you for anything.
Ugh. The reminder of the power in my hands unclamped my fingers from the comfort of the handle I was too lazy to dig out of the wood. He was right. I knew he was right, but I still wanted to mount Inga's head on my wall. A servitor. I spat the word. He chose a servitor for my assistant. A rare breed of centaur, Inga was half impossibly beautiful woman and half sleek deer.
Deer.
Had the silver stag survived, I bet the director would have drafted him to fetch and file for me too. The unsubtle reminder of the case that cleaved me from Black Cat's bosom kept my molars grinding.
Inga had no say in her assignment.
He zoomed in on his pattern, searching for where he left off.
This is just another job for her.
How is she in Black Cat anyway? Was she pulling the sleigh when Grandma got run over by a reindeer?
Rue.
A tender smile spreading across his face. He set aside his project.
You're doing it again.
Fascination is exhausting. I slumped in my chair. I'm tired of being jealous all the time.
You want to talk about jealousy?
He cocked an eyebrow.
Really?
Not this again. I dismissed what I knew was coming with an annoyed huff. He wasn't serious.
He threw a vial of his blood at you and chanted an invocation to bind your souls for eternity.
The he in question was a black witch whose name escaped me. And I kicked him in the balls so hard he sprouted a second uvula. I rubbed underneath my chin. That's the dangly thing in the back of your throat, right? I hummed. Or would it be second and third uvula? As the first woman deputy director in the history of the Black Cat Bureau, I was experiencing a mutualist phenomenon akin to ballsy pilot fish riding a lethal shark of parasites in exchange for not getting eaten. And no, I had no idea why I kept circling back to sharks. But it fit, what with the director chumming the water the second I dipped a toe into the family business. I still couldn't believe he had outed me as his granddaughter to the entire bureau. On the heels of that bombshell, I expected the outrage from those who cried nepotism. I anticipated the pushback from good old boys like Marty who didn't want to take orders from a girl. Unexpected? The opportunists who viewed me as the next gleaming rung within reach on the corporate ladder rather than the long fall to the bottom awaiting them. After I kicked them in the teeth for thinking they had some claim on me.
Keep a kill list.
Clay slipped in and shut the door behind him.
Write down the name of every person you want to kill and why. After you fill up a notebook, leak it. It's better than a fart for clearing a room.
As the second half of my security detail, Clay wore a comms charm spelled into a chunky vintage Rolex wristwatch that allowed us to communicate. For emergencies. But as he proved by jumping right into our conversation, he often used it to eavesdrop on Asa and me out of boredom from his post in the hall. Does the existence of the comms charm imply I could have summoned him myself? Yes. But then I wouldn't have had an excuse to get rid of the director's hand-picked spy for a few minutes. You had me up until the end. I angled my chair to see them both. Well?
The line wasn't too bad today.
He flopped into the chair across from me, one I'd had reinforced to support him.
7 guys with diamonds in their pockets. 1 woman with fresh hearts with provenance, on ice in a cooler. And 4 assassins I fed to Earl.
He pulled one of the light brown curls in his wig straight, then let it spring back into a coil.
You remember Earl, right?
That literal void in the floor? He did have his own office, though. I didn't realize it. He had a name.
Maybe not an official one, but he's got that Earl look to him. Real down-to-earth guy, that Earl.
Of course he's down-to-earth. I snorted a laugh. He's a hole.
I'm not familiar with Earl. Asa stood and stretched, a show which I did not mind watching one bit.
What exactly is he?
There's some speculation Earl is a portal to fairy, I told Asa, who had not been allowed much access to the manor or the compound prior to meeting me. One time a high fae staggered out and peed on a rug in the hall. I lifted a shoulder. He was drunk and claimed he thought it was his bathroom.
The director keeps a portal in the compound?
Asa raised his eyebrows.
A two-way portal?
The benefits outweigh the risks.
Clay pulled a candy bar from his pocket.
Earl has been a valued member of the Bureau for 2 centuries. He makes body disposal so much easier, and there's only been that one security breach. If the director awarded Employee of the Decade, Earl would win every time. I'm telling you, he's good people.
The director isn't concerned he might be dumping dead bodies at an undisclosed location in Faerie?
The Void, aka Earl, is naturally occurring.
Clay crammed the whole thing in his mouth.
His office?
I don't think he even chewed before swallowing.
It was built around him.
That was news to me, but I saw the appeal of having unlimited access to a magical landfill. A buzz in my pocket informed me it was time for our team strategy session, and I couldn't stop my smile. With a tap of my finger on the desk, I activated a soundproof ward that coated the inside of the room. A variation on the spell I used to soundproof our hotel rooms. I had anchored this one semi-permanently to make activating it quick and deactivating it even faster, just in case Inga got curious about the silence. Agent Smarty Fuzzbutt, I greeted Colby as I put my phone on speaker. What do you have to report?
Saint received your message,
she answered with a distracted air.
He's in New Orleans.
Makes sense.
Clay drummed his fingers on his armrests.
New Orleans is a mecca of the paranormal.
Black witches flock there in droves, Asa agreed. You can source almost anything in the quarter.
Like a miracle. One big enough to bring Mom back to life. Proving he had the same thought, Clay asked.
Do you think his quest is Luca approved?
I doubt it. I began working the letter opener back and forth, splintering the desk as I pried it free. I bet he dropped her like a hot potato. I had yet to identify Luca, but she must be Black Cat to have gained access to Dad once, let alone several times when she built trust with him. However, their earth-shattering bargain had been struck prior to his reunion with Mom. Now he had no time for another woman in his life. Ask me how I know.
The Toussaint Coven owns the French Quarter.
Clay twisted his lips into a corkscrew.
Rue and I have had dealings with them. They're not fans of ours. We had to put down their matriarch a couple decades back.
She was eating teenagers, I explained to Asa. She lured them into a Mardi Gras float garage with a charm that wafted magical cannabis smoke.
To be fair,
Clay countered.
She was so high from inhaling her own potion in such close quarters, she thought I was a giant talking pizza.
She kept asking me why they left off the bell peppers.
No,
Clay chided me.
Red pepper flakes.
Ah, I snapped my fingers. That makes more sense. Clay, whose mind was a vault and his stomach an abyss, sketched a small bow from a seat. Asa, used to us getting sidetracked by food, asked,
Do you think Saint is searching for Howell's bones?
Jay Parrish, the former deputy director, had strewn Mom's remains across the world. Maybe across multiple worlds.
He was Fae, after all. I doubted she would be put back together again anytime soon. There were simply too many missing pieces. Bones are a cure. I sobered in the face of that reality. Or both. There was no cure for death, but that was beside the point as far as Dad was concerned.
On the upside,
Colby said, her keyboard clicking.
The tracking chip is working.
After Dad and Mom ditched me, and no, I wasn't still bitter, why do you ask? I sent him a short note via the bottle he magicked to travel my creek like our personal mail route. Colby had hidden a sliver of metal in the cork that reported its location to her. I couldn't begin to guess how long it would last before he found it. His magic nullified it or the water fried it. But I wanted to keep tabs on him for as long as possible.
Hey. Clay chucked me on the chin. He might lead us straight to Luca.
To the heart of a rebellion that I hadn't decided whether to join or to crush.
She might come hunting him.
Asa reclaimed his chair.
She'll expect a return on her investment.
While I appreciated Luca discovering my dad was alive and then springing him from his prison cell below the compound, I had my doubts as to the nobility of her quest to bring down Black Hat and the director. Parrish's death had drummed one simple truth into my brain. As bad as things are, they can always get worse. With Luca stirring the pot, encouraging rogue behavior, and generally making my life miserable, I had reason to doubt she had altruistic motives for, well, anything. A nice chat would go a long way toward convincing me where I ought to fall on the line she was quickly drawing down the center of the bureau.
We'll find her before that happens.
Clay folded his hands behind his head.
She can't hide forever.
If Saint breaks faith with Luca, she may come to us.
Asa slanted his eyes toward me.
To you.
Come to me or come after me?
Saint is a nuclear option. He'll mushroom cloud if she harms Rue.
Clay spread his fingers.
Kaboom!
I wish I had their confidence, but I doubted Dad would notice me if I was writhing and screaming on a lit pyre in the French Quarter, burning while the director toasted marshmallows in the flames and tourists sipped café au lait, crammed sugary beignets in their maws, and marveled at the New Orleans performance art scene. Claps would ring out as I was rendered to ash and blown across the hot pavement into nothingness. Yeah, that was grim, even by my standards.
What you need,
Clay's eyes glittered,
is to escape this claustrophobic office for a few hours.
That sounded better than doodling in the margin of my notepad to avoid more paperwork. Oh?
What she needs,
Colby cut in,
is to come home.
Her voice went soft.
I miss you, Rue.
I miss you too. I rubbed the aching spot over my breastbone. I'll be home tomorrow, okay? Since my big promotion, I wasn't there as much. The commute was a nightmare. But worse, it was dangerous to let people believe I had an important reason for returning so often to Samford. The more curious among them might decide they ought to pay a visit and discover its hold over me for themselves. Until I conjured a more permanent solution, Aiden was sleeping in Clay's room. Colby wasn't alone, but it wasn't the same. For any of us.
We'll have the whole weekend together,
Clay added.
48 hours to kill the Kraken. I bet you and Blade do it in 24.
The Kraken. From the Mystic Realms Pirate Expansion Pack. That I bought in a fit of soul-crushing guilt when I realized this job meant leaving Colby and Samford. There must be another way to keep our family together, and safe, but I hadn't found it yet. Until I did, I would continue to support the Mystic Realms franchise as very expensive penance. A knock on the door had me tapping my desk to break the ward, and I muted the call before Inga pranced in.
The director asked me to hand deliver this.
Bright eyes on Asa, she leaned across the desk, giving us both an eyeful of perky boobs and me a thick red file. I recognized it as a new case, and Clay was quick to snatch it and begin skimming.
He said the content is relevant to your interests.
We're having a cookout this weekend, Inga.
Clay played the innocent.
Would you like to come?
Oh.
Jerking her gaze to me, she registered my murderous scowl in her proximity to the letter opener that kept creeping into my palm.
I...
Rue makes a mean venison burger.
Clay tilted his head, eyes on her tawny flanks.
Steaks, too.
Thank you.
The color drained from her face as she shot upright, quivering on her hooves.
But no.
A quick pivot on her hind legs and she trotted out with impressive speed across the slick tiles. Pretending I was above such pettiness, I chided Clay for spooking her. That was uncalled for.
From where I was sitting, it was very called for. She needs to realize that being in heat doesn't grant her exemption to flirt with a day in fascination.
Clay philosophized at the closed door.
I saved her life, really.
As much as I wanted to disagree, I couldn't. Not when the letter opener spoke for itself. In heat?
Those cutesy tail flicks.
Clay's brows slanted down.
She's flinging pheromones. Everywhere. Your office is basically a personal ad for her need to get it on, that she's hoping Ace will circle in red pen.
That I could forgive. Biology was biology. But if Clay noticed, then no doubt Asa had too.
Inga has been courting you in my office?
Claws sprouted from my fingertips.
Why didn't you tell me?
It didn't bother you.
Only because I didn't know it was happening.
I'm taken. Asa spun my chair to face him and slid his hands behind my knees to keep me right where he wanted me.
What do I care about other women? Or their secretions?
Clay added helpfully. Mouth set in a hard line, I refused to soften for Asa when he pressed his lips to mine. But when his long fingers traced the inside seam on my pants, rising higher, I decided maybe I ought to let him apologize. Really, it was the least I could do.
New Orleans.
Pulse racing as Asa's thumb reached the apex of my thighs, I mumbled a vague, noise at Clay.
New Orleans,
he said again, and whacked me over the head with the file.
That's where the case?
He jumped back when his new vantage, standing behind my chair, gave him a bird's eye view of my lap.
What is it with you people?
He hit Asa between the eyes with a paperclip.
Are the pheromones finally hitting you?
The idea of another woman turning Asa on, however unintentional for him, shriveled my enthusiasm. Breaking from Asa with a murmured apology, I resumed my position, angled between the two of them.
You two haven't...
Clay began to sit, then paused with his butt hovering above the seat.
In my chair?
No. Hello, pettiness, my old friend. We tried, but the armrest got in the way. Straightening to his full height, he wiped his hands on his pants.
You two are the absolute worst.
As long as you stay off the desk, my chair, his chair, a few of the shelves and the floor, you'll be fine.
I quit.
Clay dusted his palms together, then waved to me.
See you in 10 years.
You're never going to let that go, are you?
Not a chance, dollface.
I suppose I deserve that.
We have a case.
He shook the file.
Put your...
He gestured vaguely at Asa.
back in your pants and pay attention.
Okay. I hooked a finger through Ace's belt, urging him closer onto his feet. You hurt the man.
That's not what I meant.
Clay dropped his face into his hands.
Rue, do not put Ace in your pants.
And that was how the director found me, after letting himself in, which meant Ingo was still hiding. With Clay wishing for lightning to strike him dead where he stood, and Ace standing between my thighs as I made zipping noises with his fly to further horrify Clay. The director was an unimposing man by design. Late 40s, maybe early 50s. Old enough to pass for a dad, but not a grandfather. I don't know how long ago he decided to stop showing his age, but he hadn't sprouted a single extra gray hair at his temple since I came to live with him. He wore the template for the company uniform. Black suit, white shirt, glossy shoes. Thick black frames completed the look. Goddess only knows what those lenses showed him. His vision was already perfect. Tap, tap, tap. The black lacquer cane with mother-of-pearl inlays glinted under the lights, and my fingers curled into my palms, ready for the strike I never stopped anticipating.
I do hope I'm not interrupting.
He ignored Asa and my fists.
The door was ajar.
Cold sweat glazed my spine, and my heart gave serious consideration to bursting through my ribs. Not at all, I rasped, my throat going tight as he leaned on his cane with the casual ease of a habit. Asa performed his disappearing trick, fading into the background of the room until he might as well have been wallpaper. I hated when he listened himself, but it was on my orders. It was too dangerous for the director to view him as more than a pretty bauble that decorated my office and kept my bed warm.
Have you read the file?
Tap, tap, tap.
It's an interesting case, yes?
Sliding my gaze to Clay, the only one who had skimmed it, I waited for his nod to go ahead and lie. Turning my back on Asa in a clear dismissal made my heart ache, but it kept the director focused on me. Interesting is a good word. I wasn't lying. I was misdirecting. It gave me room for plausible deniability later.
I expect you to spearhead the investigation.
He flexed his hand.
You will report to me directly.
I'm the deputy director. I gestured to a pile of unfinished paperwork in a tray. Not a field agent.
You are what I say you are, granddaughter, and you do what I tell you to do.
How high? For a heartbeat, I savored his confusion before he demanded.
What?
You told me to jump, so I'm asking how high.
At times, your lips move, but it's your mother's lowbrow humor that falls out of your mouth.
Thank you.
It wasn't a compliment.
His knuckles whitened on the head of his cane.
Quite the opposite, in fact.
With only one pertinent card in my deck, I played it to the hilt. I'll leave for New Orleans immediately.
See that you do.
He rested a hand on Clay's shoulder.
Stay close to her.
A gray film dulled Clay's eyes as the order sank in, but then he gritted out.
Yes, sir.
Orders given, the director exited the room and left the way open behind him. When I said, immediately, I hadn't meant I would follow him out, but clearly that was his interpretation.
You can put it down now, Asa said gently. He's gone.
How it got there, I don't know, but I clutched the letter opener in my hand, where it rested on my thigh.
One day, I would kill the director for what he had done to my family, and that most definitely included Clay.
Until then, I would have to settle for a brief respite as the door on my self-made cage slid open. As I wiggled out and kicked to the surface to fill my lungs, I let myself pretend.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?